Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't take on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years' experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-400-1702. Again, that's 800-400-1702. 800-400-1702. 800-400-1702.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports. The resurrection of SAC Capital into .72 Asset Management. Hedge fund titan and Greenwich resident Steve Cohen's firm, forced to shut down by the government on allegations of insider trading, reemerging as a family office. The new firm's culture changes and the change in HR policies along with hiring tips with the new president and the new head of HR at .72, a Biz Talk exclusive all today on Business Talk with Jim Campbell. First up, Doug Hayes is the president of .72 Asset Management. Prior to joining .72, he was director at McKinsey. He's worked for the CIA and General Electric. Welcome, Doug. Good to have you.
Thank you, Jim.
And as I was saying to Jessica before, how much I was looking forward to this, because we've had a couple shows on this firm, and we've beaten the firm up pretty bad when things were pretty bad. We had the deputy U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, Preet Bharara's number two. We had Charlie Gasparino of Fox Business News and several others. So I want to start off just the scope of the challenge that you were given, and this is from the criminal complaint. The indictment charges the management of a major hedge fund with criminal responsibility for insider trading offenses committed by numerous employees, made possible by institutional practices that encouraged the widespread solicitation and use of illegal inside information and institutional indifference to unlawful conduct resulting in insider trading that was substantial, pervasive, and on a scale without known precedent in the hedge fund industry. Steve Cohen has said that they have the best people. They didn't have the best management structure. That's, I assume, why you were hired. Tell us why you were hired, what it was like to come into a firm that psychologically had a near-death experience.
Thank you. Well, Steve and I had known each other for quite a while. We worked together on the Robinhood board, and then we actually took on a big initiative to help returning veterans as part of the Robinhood board effort. So we, Steve and I, had a pretty significant history. We knew each other personally quite well. When I retired from McKinsey, he asked me if I could come in and help him plot the course for the firm. So I wasn't hired to be the president. I was hired by Steve in an advisory capacity to help him reset that course. I ultimately wound up becoming the president as, you know, Steve and I and a number of other people evolved the path forward. You asked what it was like. You know, not surprisingly, every firm has lots of good and bad in it. There's strengths and weaknesses in every culture, strengths and weaknesses and capabilities in every institution. Crisis tends to focus people on the bad things, and our firm was no exception. However, when you get beneath that, there were a lot of good things, and I had a lot to build on. So it wasn't like there weren't a tremendous number of positive things to work from.
Now, when you came in, was morale a huge problem? I mean, first of all, they could no longer run public money, so the firm's got to retrench a little bit. How did you find the morale, and how did you start to overcome the culture, which sort of was a failure of supervision before, at least according to the authorities?
Sure. Let's talk about morale first. You know, you commented at the beginning that you were pretty hard on the firm. I think a lot of media outlets were pretty hard on the firm, and it's always very difficult if you wake up every day and see something bad about the organization for whom you work in the paper or hear it on the radio. And And that has an effect on people over time. I think the group really needed to find its center. The way we did that, I did not bring that in with me, and Steve didn't impose it from the top. We put a cross-section of people together from different tenures, different parts of the firm, and set the course. And we expressed that in a statement of mission and values that you can see on our website and we post on our walls. But that was something that the people in the firm wrote. The only challenge Steve gave to them, he said, he said it would be easy for me to just walk away from the industry with what's happened, right? To sort of walk, just move on from this. But what he decided was it was also an opportunity to build a great firm. The thing that crisis does is strips everything away. So he challenged that group and said, write down what you believe would make a great firm. So that group of 25 crafted a statement, and then we took it around and eventually got 250 people in the organization, so 25% of the organization, to give input on that. And so the people of the organization really set themselves on course to strengthen morale.
All right. Changing a culture is the toughest challenge that you can face in management. First off, how do you change a culture when the top guy is still the top guy? Mm. And there was criticism of the culture when the top guy was the top guy before.
Sure. Like I said, there's a lot of strengths in the company culture, and there are tremendous strengths in Steve as a person. Steve has a huge passion for innovation, enormous intellectual curiosity, great passion for excellence, really believes in meritocracy. He has a lot of strengths as a person, and a lot of those strengths were in the organization. So building with the top guy still in place is really about finding the strengths of the person and the organization, and not just Steve, right? The whole management team and the investment professionals, finding all those strengths and building around those. So the one thing I do believe very strongly, and I've written about this in a book that was recently published by the Center for Global Enterprise, I do believe that culture is designed. I think that if you allow cultures to simply emerge, with the notion of a thousand flowers blooming, you're as likely to get weeds as you are to get wildflowers. Culture is very deliberate. You set it from the top. You decide what's important. You build the management system around that. You build the reward system around that. And you live it every day. And you demonstrate where you want to take the firm by living it every day.
Now, I always say that people behave how they're paid. So obviously you got to link culture change to the performance metrics, et cetera. So there was a culture there kind of down and out. And a lot, that must have caused a huge amount of fear and pressure to perform, even on a year-to-year basis. What have you done with that?
Well, first and foremost, we eliminated, there was a policy around down and out. And what that meant was that for an investment team or investment professional leading a team, if they lost a certain amount of money on a percentage basis, that they closed the book and let people go. We actually eliminated that policy, and we eliminated it because it really didn't serve the firm. The thing to bear in mind about performance pressure is most of the performance pressure for really high performers always comes from within. It isn't about money, and it's not about fear of being fired. It's about a deep desire to be the best at what you can, best at what you do, to be the best that you can be. We actually surveyed all of our investment professionals early on to find out what motivated them, what was important to them. Money was actually a distant third. Number one and number two was, they just enjoyed the work for the sake of enjoying the work, loved markets, loved companies, fascinated with what they did every day, couldn't wait to get into work every day. And the second was they loved improvement. They liked understanding the performance, understanding where they could get better, making changes, seeing themselves get better, working on that over and over again. Those were the two most motivating factors. And this is a survey that nearly 100% of the investment professionals in the firm filled out.
Interesting. Now, there was a culture, and I think would be normal, that performance, the performance managers own performance is what matters, and they've got to be focused on that. Have you tried consciously to build more of a team as opposed to a silo?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you said before that you think that people do what they're paid to do, and that's right. But there's another side of it, which is organizations sometimes ask people to do one thing and then pay them to do something else, and that creates a lot of confusion in the organization. One of the things I found in that early period where I was working with Steve as an advisor or that almost every one of our investment professionals really wanted to contribute to the well-being of the firm. They wanted to do more than just invest and make money for the firm. They wanted to be part of building something, but they didn't feel like they had great avenues to do it. And they also felt like they weren't paid to do it. So it was one of these things where they had one desire and the firm was paying them to do something else. We changed that. We put in place a program called Rewarding What Matters. And in that program, we paid additional bonuses for making significant contributions to building the firm. It's been a huge success. And one of the things that's important about that program was we didn't tell people what to do. We left it open to them. And then we said, we'll decide on those bonuses based on peer review. So how do all the other members of the firm feel like you're contributing to building the firm? It's been tremendously successful. Almost every investment professional has made significant contributions.
And you talked about innovation being important. Has what that meant changed at all? Because the stories on the street were always that the pressure was to get tips, to have sort of information on quarterly performance and things like that. How is innovation defined now?
Well, those stories make great television, but they don't really make much for reality. The firm has been a fundamental research-oriented firm forever. It has, you know, for long, long before I got there. That hasn't changed a bit. In fact, we focus now not only on doing fundamental research, but applying a lot more data, a lot more science, a lot more sophisticated analytic tools.
All right, coming more on the Cultural Revolution at Point 72. You're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell over the BizTalk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Want to take the great shows of BizTalk Radio wherever you go? Well, now you can with the new BizTalk Radio app for iPhone and Android devices. Now all the great shows of BizTalk Radio are with you wherever you go, just an arm's reach away on your smartphone. Download today at the App Store or the Google Play Store and get the brand new BizTalk Radio app. It's biz for you wherever you go with the new BizTalk Radio app.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-3719. That's 1-800-352-3719.
Are you worried about losing your home to foreclosure? If you've been threatened with foreclosure or receive legal papers from your bank, you have approximately 30 days to respond. If you do not respond, you could lose your home. You have rights. Act now to protect your rights. You can stay in your home. Many times you can even modify your loan. The bottom line is, you can get past this, but you must act right now. If you've been served by your bank and you're worried about losing your home to foreclosure, now is the time to fight back and save your home. Time is limited, so call the professionals at National Foreclosure Defense right now.
800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. That number again is 800-708-7922.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. And we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Biz Talk Radio.
And we're back with the president of Point 72 Asset Management, Doug Hayes. We're going to talk now a little bit, dig a little deeper into the culture changes. One of the things I read was that the SAC sign was painted over, but you could kind of still see it. So that's going to be my question. These changes are not superficial, obviously, you hope. Tell us, what are the tangible results of the cultural change program thus far, strategically, tactically?
I think if you could like travel in time and go back, maybe let's go 8 years. Let's go back to the last time that the markets were sort of in a difficult spot. Yeah. Probably the first thing you notice is the change in collaboration, and that's on every facet of the firm. There's a lot more communication, a lot more working together, a lot more sharing of perspectives. Frankly, a lot more people asking each other how they can help, how they can make a difference. And that applies to everybody at the firm, not just the investment professionals. I think that would jump out. I think, you know, frankly, the world's changed a lot, too. Another thing you would notice would be changes in technology. Today, every investment professional is working with some sort of fairly sophisticated data source, some sort of sophisticated analytic tool, and we're making significant investments in that area. There's information that's available today at a level of detail that, you know, was unimaginable. And this isn't just true for investing. This is true for people who are managing corporations. It's, you know, true for people in advertising. That would be a startling change. Probably the third thing you'd notice is youth. We have a tremendous number of young people in the firm now. Doing what we do effectively takes a lot of analyst support. So there are more analysts for every dollar of asset that we're managing than ever before. And then we recognize that to attract people to the industry and develop them and train them in the way that we'd like to see them develop, we needed to hire them directly out of undergraduate school. So we launched a program called Point 72 Academy 2 years ago. We now are in our second class of participants in that. It's been a huge success. So youth is being served. If you walk the halls 8 years later, you'd notice a much younger firm.
Now, we know basic biology that organisms will try to reject a foreign attack. How have you and Mike been accepted?
I couldn't be happier in terms of the welcome that I've received, and that's from everybody in the firm. I think the industry was a little startled to see a consultant, particularly somebody who'd been a consultant and an advisor for so long, coming into the industry. But when Steve suggested that I could run the firm for him, I remember telling him, because I had helped him plot the strategies we talked about earlier, I told him, I said, you know, I think this is the worst idea you've ever had. I said, I don't know anything about the industry. I don't know anything about investing. And he said, you know, you've got 20 years of experience working with organizations and helping them develop and sort of, you know, deliver on the strategy that they set for themselves. And he said, I know enough about investing for the two of us. And that was more than true.
All right, let me ask you about risk management in two ways. One, obviously capital. Folks get their capital cut if they're having problems, and I'm wondering how you sort of tweak that strategy. Mm. And the second part is protecting reputation.
Let's take those two things in turn. You mentioned before that there used to be a policy that we called down and out that people talked about on the street, which was this idea that if you lost a certain amount of money that you had to be exited from the firm. We don't do that anymore. We repealed that policy. if a portfolio manager and their team are struggling, we will sometimes reduce capital with them, right, in a voluntary and frankly in a really controlled way, so that they can reduce their risk, the amount of market risk that they're taking, while they rebuild, while they reset their process, while they sometimes reset their assumptions about the companies they cover, and then we let them rebuild in a controlled way. So we've made this much more of a partnership. Our risk team does not operate like a police force. They operate like coaches, thoughtful partners to our investment professionals, and that's made a big difference. We've gone through very tough market conditions over the last 18 months, managed very well, and no small part of that is just much better risk management.
The reputation side now.
Yeah, on the reputation side.
Surveillance unit?
Well, that's where I was going to go. Yeah. We've put in place a lot of changes. There's always been a good compliance regime in place, but what we realized was we really needed a surveillance regime as well. We receive 1 million inbound messages electronically per month. So there's a huge amount of traffic flowing at the firm all the time. In order to protect our investment professionals from risk coming from outside the firm, we have to be able to monitor what that is. But we don't want to isolate them. We don't want to shut them off. So there's way too many messages to monitor. We have 100% surveillance on when we do business. We do so in methods that can be surveilled 100%. And we use technology to test if there's a problem around keywords, phrases, changes in tone, anything that would flag a problem. There's way too much traffic for human beings to ever read it all. So by applying technology, we can head off problems before they occur. Now, what we do when we hire new people is we talk about this extensively. We want to make sure they understand exactly what we're doing. Not surprisingly, because it's different. Not many people do this in the industry. Prospective hires will often sort of react funny, like, you know, their first reaction sort of, oh my gosh, right? That sounds, you know, kind of strange to have that level of surveillance around me all the time. But once they learn about it, the attitude, even over the course of a few minutes, starts to change, and they realize that it gives them a chance to be free to do their work and be safe. So that's a big part of what we've done.
Sounds like you're purer than Caesar's ghost now.
Well, we need to be.
Let me ask you, in the management structure, I saw you put in these sector executives.
Yes.
Now. How have you done that without stifling the entrepreneurial or adding a layer of bureaucracy?
Right. The relationship that the sector executives have frontline responsibility for between 8 and 12 portfolio managers, all of whom have teams of analysts, so probably 20 or 30 people. Their job is not to control those people. Their job is to make sure that those investment professionals know the resources that are available to them, know everything in the firm that they could tap in to help them, and make sure that they contact it in the right way. It also helps the management of the firm better understand what's going on so that when it comes time to allocate capital, that we can do it the best way possible.
On your strategic plan, are you anticipating going back to running public money, growing the firm exponentially? What are the right. sort of long-term?
Well, the SEC settlement that was announced, I guess, just after the holidays, provides a path back for raising outside capital if we chose. But we're really clear that two things. First, that's a long time from now. The timing is January 1 of 2018, so it's too early to get wrapped up in plans around that. And second, we don't actually need capital. Our internal growth rate has been more than enough to satisfy the capital so that we can fulfill our mission. If at some point we believe we need to raise outside money after 2018, if some point we believe we need to raise outside money to continue pursuing our mission as best possible, we'll entertain that then.
So in other words, you're not having trouble getting people to join a family office kind of firm?
Not at all. We're an unusual family office. You know, we manage over $10 billion in capital. We have over 1,000 employees. We have 400 investment professionals. We operate all around the world, offices in Hong Kong, Singapore, Tokyo, London, two locations here in the U.S. So we're not a typical family
office. 1,000 employees. What was it when you were running public money? Was it
similar? I think it was about the same size.
Yeah, so you're almost the same size.
But it's a very different composition. Many more people in compliance and surveillance than we had before. Many more analysts than we had before. As I said, the
different
work's
mix,
becoming more
mix.
Younger mix, more analytically intensive.
But we're getting down right to the end here. It seems like a great job you guys have done. How has McKinsey and the CIA and GE impacted here?
How has it affected me?
Yeah.
Look, they've all been great organizations to work with and work for. I think they've all shaped my views, and you know, my core views are that performance and behaving ethically are tightly tied to each other. And I do believe that those two things, when you have strong ethical behavior, strong culture, high performance, and a passion for performing at a high level, you always can attract the best people.
So was Steve Wright that you were not, you would not be the, it was not the worst idea he's ever had.
I hope not. I don't think so.
Thank you very much, Doug, for coming on. I very much appreciate President and the chief culture carrier now, I assume, right, as Goldman Sachs would say.
I think we all carry the culture, but thank you, Jim.
Point 72 Asset Management coming next, the new HR process at Point 72.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-999-1351 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best-kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-999-1351. That's 888-999-1351.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving, but my accountant's too expensive. And I'm not sure who to call, but I know I need help.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 877-726-3369. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-726-3369. That's 877-726-3369.
Biz Talk Radio.
And we're back. Next up, Michael Butler's the head of human capital at Point 72. He's responsible for the firm's human resources and due diligence teams, its community matters program, and talent management. Held HR leadership roles at Toys R Us, L Pharma, and Cablevision. Specializes in HR strategy, executive comp, employee benefits, and talent management. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you, Jim.
In the cleanup position after Doug. All right, I'm going to set the stage for you. Your challenge just as well. This is also from the complaint about a potential hire. This is a guy who knows the quarters cold, has a share of a house in the Hamptons with a CFO of a Fortune 100 company. He's tight with management. There were rumors that he was involved in insider trading. Legal department at SAC recommended he not be hired, and he was. Things are different now under the due diligence process that you put in. Tell us how things have changed.
They are utterly different. That literally could not happen today. We have programs, policies, practices that would preclude even the possibility of that kind of circumstance. We have a very rigorous due diligence process. The surveillance team that Doug mentioned earlier is part of the hiring process, and anyone coming into a sensitive position, investment professional, senior management, is thoroughly vetted by that team, which is composed, among other things, of people with backgrounds like FBI, SEC, CIA. So we really scrub and dig deep in the backgrounds of people coming into the firm. We also have a hiring committee that sits as an independent body and evaluates the talent coming into the organization at every level, both for quality and for compliance-related concerns. We are very, very serious about this.
Now, was this driven by Steve Cohen down after the experience?
As you would expect, pretty much everything that we've built over the last couple of years ties back to Steve's mandate. And one of the things he directed us very specifically was to make sure that we had the resources, the programs, the technology, the processes to make sure as much as is humanly possible that nothing like that could ever happen to this organization again. And we are working very hard to make sure that that's true.
Do you have the compliance department? Does that report directly to you?
I do manage a team called due diligence, which is specifically related to the hiring process. We work with the surveillance and compliance team, which plays a role in the hiring process, but reports directly to Doug and does a number of other things to protect the firm and its investment professionals.
And you guys do background checks now, or how do you complete your due diligence so you say nobody can get through this process this time?
It's a combination of internal and external resources that are used to essentially access and evaluate every bit of information that you can reasonably get a hold of. In the investment industry, there are a number of licensing and regulatory bodies that maintain records that are often public record on people. We access all of those databases. We review criminal background checks. We do deep reference checking on prior employers. Pretty much every stone that you can imagine that would give you insight into the quality and the integrity of a person, if it's publicly available and legal to access that information, we do.
Now, one of the things that Doug was mentioning was you really have changed the mix of the hires significantly, a lot younger folks. Tell us about this Point 72 Academy. Is it sort of modeled on like GE's Croton?
There probably are some similarities in the sense of having a very structured professional approach to developing talent, but it's different in the sense that it's very specifically aimed at cultivating and training young investment talent specifically. It's not a management academy, it's really an investment academy. So we, instead of following the traditional industry pattern of letting investment banks train our young people and then hiring them once they've acquired a certain base level of modeling and similar skills, we're going earlier into the talent pipeline, hiring extremely bright, capable people off of campus and training them ourselves. We think we can do it better, faster, more effectively, and early returns are showing that that's absolutely true.
Tough to get into, too.
It's very selective. We have an extremely high bar for talent, and frankly, we're working hard to make it ever higher.
What do you look for in folks? You put them through interviews, tests?
Yes, and then some. Yes.
Psychological profiling?
Yes. This is not an easy place to get into. We have very high standards. We expect a lot of our people, and it's a wonderful place to build a career. We can afford to be selective, and we are. We seek out people who have exceptional intelligence, and you can measure and test and evaluate that rather objectively. We evaluate for ethics, integrity, character. Obviously, that's hugely important to us. We also look for some things that are more intangible, curiosity, passion for the business, a real interest in understanding what makes a company tick, what makes a stock move the way it moves. Some people find that a fascinating puzzle, an interesting challenge to untangle. And if we see sparks of that kind of curiosity and that kind of interest paired with superior intelligence, we know we're on the right track.
And if I come in and I'm a student and I want to get rich quick, what do you?
I'm not going to say that that would absolutely end the conversation, but it's probably going to shorten it. That's not the kind of people we're looking for. Obviously, this is a field where people can make quite a lot of money. We don't dismiss that part of our equation. But that's not what drives the best of the people who do this kind of work. We've interviewed them. We've analyzed what makes the great ones great and the less successful ones perform differently. And it's clear that the really excellent people in this field love to solve the puzzle, love the work, love to be right. That's what motivates them. Money's a way of maybe keeping score, and it's not incidental, and nobody doesn't like making more money. But that's not really what drives the really great people in this industry. So if we hear a young person saying this is a path to quick riches, that's a signal that they don't really understand what we're about.
Turn off. Do you look for business majors, econ majors, or have you gone way out?
We are very specifically trying to widen our lens. Historically, it has largely been finance majors, accounting majors, sometimes economics majors. In our most recent class, I forget the exact number, but I think we have out of 17 people coming into the newest academy class, I believe they represent 10 discrete fields of specialization from physics to mathematics, really a much wider talent set, which is frankly part of the purpose of going earlier. If we're just hiring out of the investment bank classes, there's already a fairly narrow profile represented in that talent pool. We want a broader lens, and we're getting it, and we're seeing some real benefits from that more diverse set of backgrounds and disciplines.
Who votes on who gets in? Is it like their admissions committee there or something?
Yeah, there absolutely is. I mentioned a hiring committee before, so I sat in two of them today. We literally have a group of relatively senior people. From a variety of backgrounds, our compliance officer, senior people in the equities business, myself, Doug, others who literally sit around a table, go through extensive dossiers on the individual, have a very open and frank conversation about what we like and don't like about the profile, and we vote. And that, if you don't get past that body, you don't get hired.
Very amazing. Another interesting thing I noticed was we talked before about the performance pressure down and out, which you guys have gotten rid of, and your retention rate for portfolio managers has gone from 2 to 7 years. That's a pretty significant shift.
It is. As Doug described to you earlier, we have built an environment that is specifically engineered around cultivating and developing talent. If people are in and out within 2 or 3 years, that doesn't make a lot of sense. We want to hire people young. We want to train them, develop them, equip them for success, and then put a path in front of them that allows them to be successful over an extended period of time. We've seen that play out very successfully, and we think we can do more in that direction. We want really great people, and once they're in .72. We want them to stay and contribute to our firm for a long time.
What have you done, because I read you, a sports psychologist, for instance, to deal with some of the fear of failure and the tension level on the big floor you've got there?
That's part of it. We do have a performance coach, somebody who by background is a psychologist who's done a lot of work with very high-performing athletes, professional golfers, and others. So it's dealing with stress and pressure is absolutely part of his mandate, but it's more than that. It's really how to help people play their best game, to get out of their own way. If they're in a rut, if they're losing perspective, if they don't quite see the ball, having a conversation with somebody who's trained to help them kind of cut through that and get back to what they're really good at can be very helpful. And it's one of the many services and support systems we put around our investment professionals to help them be the best they can be.
And this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, coming to you from our flagship stations, both Yale Radio, WYBC, and 1490 WGCH, Greenwich, Connecticut. Recruiting talent at .72. We're going to look more into that in the final national segment.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Are you worried about losing your home to foreclosure? If you've been threatened with foreclosure or receive legal papers from your bank, you have approximately 30 days to respond. If you do not respond, you could lose your home. You have rights. Act now to protect your rights. You can stay in your home. Many times you can even modify your loan. The bottom line is you can get past this, but you must act right now. If you've been served by your bank and you're worried about losing your home to foreclosure, now is the time to fight back and save your home. Time is limited, so call the professionals at National Foreclosure Defense right now.
800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. That number again is 800-708-7922.
Has your life changed? Are you now in a situation where you need health insurance? Here's some simple advice. Call our health insurance hotline right now. This free service will do all the work for you. Shop the health insurance marketplace and find the plan that best meets your health insurance needs. Don't get lost searching for plans on your own. Let a licensed agent help you for free. According to a report on CNN Money, almost half of those eligible for subsidies are paying less than $3 a day for bronze or silver plans. Remember, under Obamacare, most Americans qualify for health insurance. So get ready to let us do all the work for you and find out the best health insurance plan for your needs. Call this number now.
800-659-7975. 800-659-7975. For your free health insurance quote, call now. 800-659-7975. 800-659-7975.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-658-3876. That's 800-658-3876. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-658-3876.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Biz Talk Radio.
Our guest, Point 72, head of HR, the new head of HR, Michael Butler. Mike, let me ask you this, because I thought this was interesting, because sports has this problem. You guys are trying to, on the performance measurement, differentiate between what's performance that's likely to be repeatable and what was a one-year wonder kind of thing. And how have you gone about trying to get your arms around that?
It really comes back to data and analytics. We are a business that is talented in pattern recognition, so we're trying to apply some of that same ability to measuring, analyzing, assessing what differentiates sort of luck from talent. It's a very complicated problem. I wouldn't claim that we have it perfect, but it's something that we take very seriously, are working on, and are getting better at. It's a tricky knot to untangle, but we're starting to see some interesting insights.
Who do you guys feel you compete against for this talent, that you're, this young talent you're going after?
That's an interesting question. A few years ago, the answer probably would have been, for the most part, the other sort of large established hedge funds. It's a fairly finite universe. I think it's a little bit more involved today. It's certainly some of those same large hedge funds and asset management firms. But it's also Silicon Valley. It's other businesses that are interested in analyzing and exploiting large, complex data sets, which these days is really a pretty broad cross-section of enterprises, from the Ubers to the Facebooks and others in Silicon Valley. It's not just the finance firms.
I was looking into Bridgewater and Ray Dalio, and because they have a big focus on recruiting people, what they call this radical transparency, and they tape you, and you got to yell all the mistakes out. What do you think of their approach, or how are you different, or how are you similar?
So I obviously wouldn't want to speak for Bridgewater. I know a bit about their environment, but take this with a grain of salt. Based on my understanding, I think they do a lot of interesting things. I think the idea of truth, candor, being very frank with each other, having an emphasis on truth. There's nothing bad about any of that. My impression is that they may take some good ideas to a bit of an illogical extreme and push some fundamentally good concepts to a point where they become less useful. We certainly are promoting and developing a culture that values truth and transparency and candor. But we do it in a way that I think is sustainable and humane and cultivates excellence and creates the kind of environment that people want to come to every day.
Do you identify advantages for coming into a family type of office within a private firm that folks do the folks coming in raise questions about image? Do you have any do you have to fight anything to get folks in there?
this may have been true in the past. Today, I'd say the answer is absolutely not. We actually have people, metaphorically lining up at the doors. We, in spite of our very high standards, our really demanding bar, we have no shortage of people who are very, very interested in being part of this organization. Our biggest challenge, frankly, is screening, sorting, assessing in a systematic way so that we can cut through the volume of people who would like to be part of this firm and zero in on just the very, very best.
Now, these new guys, you've come in, they go through the 15-month training program, whatever?
Roughly, yeah.
And then you decide if you keep them or not, or is that about 100% keep, right?
So it's early days. We're coming close to our first class graduating from that training phase of their life at the firm and being placed on teams. So we haven't actually done that placement. I can't give you hard statistics, but I can tell you that based on early reactions from the teams that have been exposed to our academy students, we're going to have no trouble placing these kids. They're enormously talented, have worked very hard, and our portfolio managers are very excited about having access to this pool of talent.
Do these folks, do they get any access to Steve Cohen? Does he reach down?
People have used this term, and I think it's really very, very true and gives you a flavor that many people probably wouldn't guess. Steve is sort of the coach-in-chief. He is very available to all of our investment teams, has breakfasts with analysts and portfolio managers on a very regular basis, does interact with the academy students, analysts. He is, at his heart, an investor. He loves the subject, he loves the work, and he loves to be around other people who are engaged in that work. It's very stimulating to him. He really can't get enough of it.
All right, well, let's take advantage of picking your brains a bit, help out folks that are trying to get jobs. And you wrote a piece on, I guess you have some issues with the pure level of integrity now that coming out of resumes and how that may have changed.
We do take ethics, integrity very seriously, and I've frankly been a little concerned at some patterns I've seen, particularly with very young people, very early in their careers, demonstrating a sometimes less than rigorous relationship with facts and truth, rounding up GPAs, fudging a gap in a resume, being less than direct about a less than flattering experience, perhaps. Whenever I'm given an opportunity to coach or counsel young people, particularly anyone who might be interested in working at a place like Point 72, my advice is consistent and emphatic. Be straight. Be forthright. Tell the truth. If there's something in your record that requires a little explanation or a little context or you're not particularly proud of, it may or may not be disqualifying, but lying about it absolutely is.
What's the advice about gaps? You've got a time gap, maybe, or you had a bad year kind of thing.
It's hard to generalize. The circumstances around those things can be so very different. There can be a health issue, somebody transfers schools. I'd be a little reluctant to give a blanket answer. But again, it comes back to, tell your story, tell the truth, help us understand. If there's something that isn't obvious from your resume, we're not looking to exclude talented people based on superficial things. If there's a story that helps us get comfortable with it, help us.
All right, as we get down to the end, tell us, are you hiring now? Is it just these classes as opposed to experience? And what about outside of the U.S.?
We are absolutely hiring investment professionals as well as what we call investment services, all of the supporting functions, lawyers, accountants, compliance people, communications people, HR people. We are absolutely hiring. We are always hiring. We are voracious for exceptional talent in all categories, and that includes our non-U.S. offices. So we have locations in addition to New York and Connecticut in Hong Kong, Tokyo, Singapore, and London, and we are hiring and actively seeking superior talent in all of those markets.
From the returns that I saw, you guys have done an unbelievable job in what is a terrible market.
When you get exceptionally talented people together and give them really good tools and training, some really interesting things happen.
Well, it's a happy ending for SAC, now Point 72. I want to thank Doug Hayes and Mike Butler. This has been Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Podcasts are available on iTunes, the network, biztalkradio.com, WYBC at Yale, and WGCH here. Thanks to Doug Hayes, Mike Butler, President and Head of HR at Point 72 Asset Management. Thanks to our national audience for listening. We'll see you next Sunday on Business Talk with Jim Campbell.
opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.